Hello and welcome. I'm James. I'm the pastor of the Glenwood Moravian Community Church here in Madison, Wisconsin. This is The Essentials, our podcast where we explore our faith, we discuss what's happening in the world, and celebrate the hope and the good news that we see. For this episode, I have our scripture lessons and our message from Sunday, April 21st. It was Good Shepherd Sunday. The first reading was from Psalm 23. We used the Message translation. The scripture reads, God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You've bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. Our gospel lesson came from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd puts the sheep before himself, even sacrifices himself if necessary. A hired man is not a real shepherd. The sheep mean nothing to him. He sees a wolf come and runs for it, leaving the sheep to be ravaged and scattered by the wolf. He's only in it for the money. The sheep don't matter to him. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and my own sheep know me. In the same way, the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I put the sheep before myself, sacrificing myself if necessary. You need to know that I have other sheep in addition to those in this pen. I need to gather and bring them too. They'll also recognize my voice. Then it will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I freely lay down my life, and so I am free to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own free will. I have the right to lay it down. I also have the right to take it up again. I have received this authority personally from my Father. Here ends the reading of the word. So, coming up in June, in just a couple of months, it will mark 6 years since I was ordained. So, I've been a pastor for a little over half a decade. I feel like that's a fair amount of time, but it also still feels like too short of a time to say that I'm totally familiar with the rhythms of ministry. I can't say that I always do this for Christmas or this always happens at Easter. I don't have many stories that sound like if I had a nickel for every time this happened. Things still feel pretty new. But an exception to that would be the fact that I cannot tell you how many times I have heard or read Psalm 23. It's always been a passage of scripture that people find great comfort in. It is always useful at a hospital bed. It's always appreciated in nursing homes. It's almost always part of a funeral or a memorial service. There might not be a chapter in scripture that is more well known than Psalm 23. It's reassuring to hear that God is with us. There in the valley, God protects us, God cares for us. And it makes sense that we hear these words so often at a funeral, to be reminded that our loved one who has passed is safe in God's arms, and to know that God journeys with those as they walk through grief. Picturing God as our shepherd is so very soothing. So as I've heard Psalm 23 so many times, as I know how much people enjoy it and find comfort in it, that it would be up in the Scripture Hall of Fame if there were such a thing. So today I don't want to knock it or drag it down, but maybe just to say that it's the beginning of the picture of what we mean when we picture God as a shepherd. Because for as many times as I've read it, I can't help but notice a difference between the shepherd in the psalm and then the good shepherd that Jesus describes himself to be in our gospel lesson from John. In the 23rd psalm, we find that the words me, my, and I are used 15 times. You find me, quiet pools to drink from. You walk at my side. Your beauty and love chase after me. I don't need a thing. It's very much written from the perspective of what we receive from God. God's with me, blesses me, God comforts me. It's personal. And I benefit from my relationship with the shepherd. And as Jesus proclaims that he's the good shepherd, some language is similar. The shepherd cares for the sheep, is even willing to sacrifice himself to protect the sheep. The shepherd knows these sheep, and the sheep know him. And then there's a key difference. Jesus says that he has other sheep that he needs to gather and protect. Others need to be brought in. And here the role of the shepherd shifts from blessing and serving me to blessing and serving others. This Good Shepherd discourse in John chapter 10, it would be startling to hear for those who are listening to Jesus. They would have been familiar with God the shepherd from Psalm 23. And here it would be a bold statement for Jesus to say he's taking up the position of God, that he is fulfilling the very duties of God. But the reason that he's explaining himself to be the shepherd at all comes directly from what happens in the 9th chapter of John. Jesus heals a man who was born blind, and this man is someone that his disciples are very curious about. Not in a sense of wonder of how can we help him, how can we be here for him, but his disciples are obsessed with learning what has caused this man to be blind. Who has sinned? Was it him? Was it his parents? Why doesn't he have his sight? So it was very much their worldview that disease, ailment, or physical limitation was the consequence of sin. So they need to know what's wrong with this man. Then Jesus heals him, and immediately the Pharisees get involved. They ask the man about Jesus. They interrogate his parents about his condition. And then they ask the man again to point them to whoever cured him. They aren't celebrating this act of healing, but questioning, wondering who had the authority, who had permission to heal him. And it leads to a conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees about their spiritual blindness. And it will jump into this lesson about Jesus being the good shepherd. But this man who was born blind, this topic of discussion, he would have been the other sheep in the eyes of the Pharisees. They understood his disability as tangible proof that he was being punished. He or someone in his family has strayed from God, and therefore he is an outsider. He's rejected because of his condition. And when Jesus says that he's bringing in other sheep, This isn't in the abstract. They would immediately think of this blind man, the other, in their world that Jesus made whole. And while the disciples and the Pharisees are so concerned with this man's condition, obsessed with what he's done wrong and what is currently making him different, Jesus isn't worried about any of that. He sees a man that he can heal. He sees a man who he can bring into the community. And it's by looking out for and thinking about their version of the other that we see God as the shepherd isn't just caring for me. Jesus, the good shepherd, is caring for all. So it's one thing to find comfort in Psalm 23, to know what God provides for us. Beautiful, life-giving care. And it's another thing to know that what Jesus is willing to do for us, Jesus is willing to do for the other, the outsider, whoever they are in our world today. And at the risk of painting with a broad brush, I think people really struggle to see where the other is brought into the church today. Because people might think of Christians as a whole for having faith because of the rewards it provides to us. We are loved, we are blessed, God is with us. And in the end, we are rewarded. We get our ticket to heaven. And our faith benefits us with God's love. And as the church has celebrated all that the shepherd is willing to do for us, the church has also felt the need to clarify who is on the outside and why. Like the disciples and the Pharisees with this blind man. The church has been so obsessed with what makes others different, what's wrong with them, whoever it might be. So Christians accept the benefits of having faith and are very eager to say why others are being left out. But in our lesson from Jesus, he says he's bringing them too. Point blank. No questions. There are other sheep. I need to gather them. He takes this role of caring, protecting, and walking with, and immediately he wants to bring more people into that love. Not based on their merit, regardless of why the world sees them as the other, Jesus is here for them. In his church, the community, as his hands and feet, is meant to do just that. Not to seek the comfort, the rewards, and the blessings of faith for ourselves, but to bring others into that love. The Western District of the Moravian Church in the Northern Province will gather for synod later this week. And as I think of that work, I'm reminded of how immensely proud I am of the Moravian Church in recent years as we have tried to be the shepherd in people's lives. We have navigated through difficult conversations on very divisive topics. But as a whole, we haven't been consumed with a desire to diagnose or define people. We haven't felt the need to prescribe the changes that others need to make in order to enter the fold of God like us. We've leaned on the example of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who longs to include, who wants to make room for more people at the table. And it hasn't been perfect. It has not been easy. But it's been done with the hope that The comfort we find in Psalm 23, the comfort we receive as Christians, that it can be tangible not just for our flock, not just for people like us, but for today's outsider, today's other. And I worry that the Christian church has this idea that sharing God's love that freely and that generously will somehow leave less of it for us. So it gets held back, it gets protected until someone is worthy in our eyes. So as we embrace and celebrate the love of God that we receive, I hope we don't stop there. By saving it for ourselves. I hope we keep taking that risk to share it, to tell people who have been left out and excluded that they belong. As Jesus, our Good Shepherd, longs to care not just for us, but for all, I hope we can make that a reality and a real experience. For people to embrace here. Amen. Well, thank you for listening to another episode. If you want to learn more about the church that I serve, you can check out the Glenwood Moravian Community Church. You can find our website, follow us on Facebook, join us for worship on YouTube. If you want to learn more about the Moravian Church in general, you can go to moravian.org. So take care, be well. I'll catch you next time.